Hello, Bonsai friends. This is Evan Pardue of Underhill Bonsai, and welcome to episode 108 of Little Things for Bonsai People. It is the year 2025 and the year of the snake, and I am joined by my co-host, Carmen Leskovinsky. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. So I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I was taking stuff out of the greenhouse over here. That's kind of been the thing recently with the weird weather patterns over here. But I've been unloading the greenhouse. I loaded it up last week because of our surprise cold weather. So that's all I've been doing really today. I'm assuming the last time we talked, which was barely like a day or two ago, since this recording, in real time, it's still cold, huh?
Oh yeah. We're going to get up to like 40 this week though. So I'm pretty excited. It's, heat wave.
Yeah. Something like that, you know, and like I had to start pulling things out of the greenhouse cause I've got a few things that are pushing buds right now. Mm-hmm. Like, bald cypresses and American hornbeams that we've collected, and a couple of other things that we've reef potted, have buds on them, and I want them to come out, but I don't want them to boil in the greenhouse when it's suddenly 80 degrees this week.
Yeah, that'll give you heat burn, long internodes, all kinds of crazy stuff. So
yeah, it will sap the energy right out of them. So we got to get all that stuff out, and then of course monitor the tropicals and get them gradually out. But and then we got to make sure there's not going to be another late cold spell or something, you know. So it's just been that way, but yeah, me and Carmen are going to pretty much just talk about just a little bit more casually on this episode. I mean, there is a topic that's going to be kind of on our minds. I mean, it's something we mentioned in the last episode, was large leaves and if they're really that big of a deal, and that
if they're that big of a deal.
Get it? Yeah, they're really that big. Depending on the size of your tree, if they are a big deal or not. And we'll talk about that. I'm alluding to some of the opinions that we have, but like we've mentioned before, like we get into into big circles when we talk, and we just talk in giant circles, come back around to the point sometimes. So we just wanted this episode to feel a little bit more flowy and just kind of just chat about stuff, you know, if things come to mind, because big leaves is such a broad topic about, you know,
such a big topic.
I mean, on broadleaf evergreens, it is.
Yeah, it's really broad.
It is broad. It could be
large,
skinny, flat,
expansive,
long, you know, depends on if we extend it out long enough and it hardens to a point where the leaves do reach their maximum size. I mean, it just depends on where we get on how broad the conversation will come around to the leaf size. But no. Like that. That's kind of weird. All right. So we do need to mention. Yeah. No, it did, but it's okay. We do need to mention that our podcast is sponsored by our amazing patrons over on patreon.com/littlethingsforbonsaipeople. We always have to shout out our best buds and our specimen best buds for supporting our show and making this all possible. Like me and Carmen were talking about a little bit earlier, is like, we don't make a killing on this show. We're just hanging out. We're talking bonsai because you guys continue to support us. So thank you guys so much. And we have a sponsored, we have a featured best bud this month, our week. Dang, I'm all over the place today. It's going to be Hist Warrior. That is a good friend of mine. He does bonsai here locally as well. He's printed shirts with us. He's made the t-shirt designs with us for our show. So thank you, Hist Warrior, for making that happen. And then, of course, we have our main show sponsor, Joshua Roth Tools and Underhill Bonsai, supporting the show, doing all the extra little things printing shirts or helping out with fees and costs. By the way, you guys bought Carmen a new mic to use for the show when she moves.
Thank you. So,
there you go. There's another thing. And also the sponsorship that we funded and someone won and was awarded last episode right around Christmas time. So yeah, this goes a long way. So thank you guys so much for supporting. Of course, you got your specimen best buds on Ryu in Bonsai Garden in Australia, supported by Rick, Mark McWilliams. I want it to be McMillian so bad, apparently. J. David Tolbert, and of course our anchor best specimen, best blood, Bill of Bill's Bayou. And then I can't go much further without mentioning our editor, Matt O'Donnell. He makes us sound smart, cleans up our audio, and makes us enjoyable to listen to. You can go over to mattodonnell.com and you can go fill out a contact form and start your own podcast show with him, or an audio engineering project that you might need help with, because he is a set bassist living in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's an all-around awesome guy. I say it in the script every time because it's there. Now that it's just like a little bit of Yoda talk there. But yeah, I did actually get to hang out with Matt this past weekend. We had some close family members made their 60th wedding anniversary, and it was super sweet. So that was a great time. So stuff like that. Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? So not just talking about bonsai and podcast shows here. But yeah, got to hang out with Matt and do something very meaningful with him this past weekend for grandparents, basically, on within the family, and it was very cool. So anyway, yeah, with all that out of the way, so what do you think about, other than our, like, all of our puns and our weird jokes about leaves, what do you think where should we touch first on big leaves? What's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
Well, I remember in the last episode I was saying that some of our trees have leaves that are too big for my liking to put on display during the summertime. And I guess to clarify that a little bit, maybe not clarify, I suppose, I don't know where I'm going with this. I think that there's a place for big leaves. And I think that ultimately, if you're displaying a tree with leaves on it, ideally they would be to scale with the tree. But that comes with time and age and management of tree growth. And sometimes your tree just isn't there yet. So should you totally not show your tree if it has big leaves on it? Not necessarily. And, you know, if you're developing a tree, is having big leaves a problem? Not necessarily, because they're getting all that energy and putting it back into the tree. And a lot of times when you're showing a deciduous tree, you're showing it in the fall or the winter or early spring before it even has leaves on it. So like the ultimate goal with deciduous is to have a tree where you can see the ramification. So leaves don't really even matter. I think the conversation tends to fall back to leaves here in the States a lot, because we have a lot of shows during the growing season, because it's generally easier for people to travel and get around to all of these shows, and they have more time off and all of this stuff. So I think maybe we think about it too much, but it's worth thinking about.
Yeah,
I never know how to end my thoughts.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's super open ended. That's why you kind of get to this point where you're like, that's what it is. And so it could just be as simple as, you know, we talk about like the building blocks of bonsai and just kind of breaking down what we've learned. Like 101 basics of what a bonsai should be is it should be to scale. So meaning like its trunk and its height and the pot that's in, everything should be scaled and proportioned appropriately for the size that we're trying to trick the viewer into thinking the tree would be if it wasn't dwarf. And so that's really, it sounds like some like highbrow stuff there, but it's really just comes down to understanding the proportion horizon line of the tree. And then overall, just the perspective of the tree as well. So there's a lot of different rules there. And when it comes to building trees, there's some really great examples of how to source this kind of information to figure out how to build these trees. This is the kind of conversations I love to talk about, because I build trees from scratch here at the nursery. And I'm always trying to refine that skill of getting that, you know, if it's a big, chunky trunk that I pulled out of the ground, how do I scale it to make it into a valuable tree for somebody that they would want it? It doesn't just look like some plant that was just in a nursery container at a, you know, a nursery that's not even specialized in bonsai. And then you can also take trees that don't have those bigger trunks, and you can take trees with smaller trunks, with wispy or, you know, trunks that have a lot of character, a lot of movement, or maybe even deadwood features that you wouldn't see in certain types of styles of trunks. And how do you make that proportionate and believable? And so the basic rules to me when building is like, the sources I was referring to is, first of all, John Naka's Techniques 1 is a great source for proportions. I know it sounds kind of like, it's like, oh, you're just going to fall back on that because it's, everybody knows that John Naka wrote that book. But this, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that people don't refer back to often enough, is the fact that he wrote down a lot of passages in there about how to correctly proportion a trunk and make a trunk line believable as a tree, you know? And it's very, very straightforward. It's a little bit more archaic in a way. It's where it's just like, it's so simple that we overlook it because it's like, oh, we're past that. But sometimes we're not past it, because I still see people with weird proportions and trunk lines that don't have true lines in them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not just saying that just to all praise John. He was, of course, a great figurehead in American bonsai. And there was a lot of things that we've done that has surpassed the horticultural aspect of how John Naka cared for trees. It was an early time in American bonsai where they were trying to still figure those things out, but his scale and proportions were spot on. And then I think the next source we could look to is, I got the book right here. I want to make sure I get the title correct. Principles of Bonsai Design by David DeGroot is an amazing book. It is basically just John Naka's book, taking all the things that he said basically and just updating it all and making it almost into a textbook that you can read along to, like you would get college or something. Mm-hmm. It's a great resource, very well studied, and has the proportions parts in it. Makes a lot more sense when you look at it through that scope as well. So, and so where does this come back to the size of your leaves though? And that really plays into, so if your tree is, and this is, I hear this from, I work with Guy. Guy used to work with Vaughn. So Guy Guidry used to work with Vaughn Banting. Vaughn Banting used to work with John Naka. So there is that succession of, I'm hearing this, how proportions are laid out, and it's 6 to 12 times the trunk of the tree's height. That's how your proportions should be laid out. So if your trunk is 2 inches, times that times 6, your tree could be around 12 inches to 24 inches tall. Is it appropriate height to get that proportion correct? Depending on its line is how narrow your proportions will go as you stretch out those proportions. Does that make sense?
That seems awfully tall for a 2-inch trunk.
I know. I know it does. If it has gradual taper the entire way and it has the movement to warrant that taper as well, then it can be really tall, you know, because Chinese Pinjing exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And bonsai has those aspects of it, you know. There was a tree that I was watching the Kokufu Tan recap from this past year, that just happened. And there was an I think it was either an elm or a hornbeam or something. And it had a fat little trunk at the bottom and it was skinny and it got really skinny really quick. And it just kept going and going and going. And then it looked like a Pinjing tree, but it was refined like a bonsai.
That's cool.
So yeah, exactly. So it's like they did everything right and they studied both aspects of that approach and then they nailed it on the execution of, yeah, like you said, like that's pretty tall for a tree, but if it's done right, it looks good. Most people appreciate the 6 times the width of the trunk, because that's where we get to that stage where you're above a sumo, you know, kind of look where you get that big fat trunk. And instead you have an evenly tapered, nice, big trunk that narrows down quickly into something we would call either a Hershey kiss shape or a triangle, or even just a gradual taper, will guarantee you that you will get there in that line. That's why I was saying the leaves matter, because once you execute all those things that I just listed off there, now if your leaves are too big, then it defeats the whole purpose of the tree, or does it? So... Before I ramble on too much, go ahead.
If I have a 24-inch trunk,
yeah,
how tall should that tree be?
It'd be huge.
Right. Now, but I have a 24 inch trunk and it's not as huge as.
Not as huge as that. But where, so the trunk, where's the taper point from the Nabari up to the actual visual trunk line on the Takagari?
I don't know.
Yeah. So if you, so that, that's one of the things that, that is a little confusing because I run into the same issue with bald cypresses where they will have that flare and those roots come out really far and I will have a 24 inch flare. And then it will taper up to your Takagari, which is right above your Nabari and your and between your first branch. Mm-hmm. And so that section, measuring where that where it lifts from the soil, when I talked to now Tokutake at the Bonsai Central show, he had a Japanese term that was a beautiful way to describe the lift or the rise from the soil. I just can't remember the name or the word for it. But
I don't
in
know.
That,
Sorry,
in that section.
Ahead.
In that section, that's where I usually measure it. I know it sounds abstract because we don't have visuals right now, but go ahead. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I think that proportion's a little bit off, but I won't, I haven't read it, so I'll back off.
I mean, that's why we have this, so it's open for debate. I mean.
Well, I mean, I have a trunk. Okay, so say the trunk is then 10 inches. And what's the thing? It has to be.
Six to 12, it's trunk, not all the way around, visual, trunk size. Like, are you measuring like the full circumference?
No, I'm looking at the radius.
Yeah.
The diameter.
Well, visual.
The so diameter.
If you took a picture of that tree and
so
you measured
it.
So
if it's still 10 inches across, then it would have to be at least 60 inches tall. And it's definitely not.
Yeah, that's, let me see. It's a basis to build the tree off of. And then one day, you know, because that's what happens to shohin, right? Shohin start out at a certain proportion and they get real fat. And then they go to the next size because they can't stay in a shohin anymore because they just keep growing, you know?
Uh-huh.
Now, what would be interesting is that if we could get some photos of trees, like, do you have any quick photos of like trees in the public collection there that we can look at?
I'm thinking of shohin. Like, if I've seen like a 3-inch trunk on a shohin, and it's definitely under 8 inches tall, so that doesn't fit the proportion.
Yeah, but I would like to see a picture of the tree that you're thinking of too. Yeah,
hold on. Let me pull it up. Let me find it. I don't know if I have a picture of it.
See, this is a good conversation to have because this is the kind of conversations that people don't normally get to hear because they're like, wait, this is what you're saying over here, but Carmen is seeing it way differently.
Yeah. I don't have the really big one that I was thinking of for an example, but I have this one.
Okay. Can you shoot it over? Can we share that for Instagram?
Sure.
Is that possible? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna look at this real quick. It's debate time. Oh, and this tree is old. This tree is very old.
So
if you guys are interested in what we're talking about here, of course, this is going to be our visual aid. We've done this in the past where if we critique trees, you just go over to our Instagram, Little Things for Bonsai People on Instagram, and it will be linked up to the episode. It will say in the description at the bottom what episode that picture aligns with. And so this will be aligned with episode 108, Big Leaves. Or whatever it might be called. So that is a big one. Let's see. This is pretty good. I like this actually. This is a lot more fun than being like, by the way, this is the proportions, and you're like, no, like this is
that's
a lot
not
more
the proportions.
Yeah, it's a lot more studied if we do. Where's my chopstick? I normally have a chopstick sitting at my table here with you. I'll just use this pencil. All right, so. So this tree, we're making sure we're talking about the same tree for our viewers here. If you're in our Instagram, it's an azalea. It's a really old azalea. It's got a massive base. It's in a beautiful, is that bluish pot?
Yeah, it's like a teal blue-green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that color.
Yeah,
the really lighting's green. A little off, so I can't tell the true tone of the pot.
Yeah.
So this trunk, so if you see where the tree meets up to the edges of the container, that well, all those roots spread out. So that's like the widest possible point of that Nabari. We don't need exact measurements on that tree. We just need visual measures. So this, for the listeners at home, if you take your, like a pencil or a stick or something, and if you break it or just hold your finger over where.
Take my paintbrush.
Yeah. Like, there you go. Take your paintbrush and do the whole artist thing where you hold it up. That's, you joke about that, but that's actually a proportion technique.
Yeah, I've done that. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You paint. You know that.
Well, I did it in a landscape architecture class and I was trying to draw some things.
So the, you silly computer. All right. So that, it's a touchscreen laptop. Oh. Yeah. So I'm
trying to, this paintbrush is too long.
I graze it. Yeah. I'll wait for you.
I got it. It's right here. I got all my paintbrushes right here.
Cool. Good for
ready.
You. Yeah. So, yeah. So you have those roots that spread out and then it comes up and then you have that spot where it narrows up. I see a little bump on the left side of this trunk where it bulges out a little bit. I would probably go right underneath that first branch where it, see, that's where your Takagari actually begins. The Takagari on this tree is very narrow. So if we take this proportion, we measure right under that first branch of that visual width of that trunk. Now hold it up to that pot. Now hold it up and down to that pot. Perfect. Whoever chose that pot for that tree is a genius. That is such a great depth for that tree. It's like perfect proportion to that. That's part of the tree, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit narrow, but the depth is great.
The depth is exactly what the tree needs.
Yes,
I know it's narrow. Now, the drip line, that's something to mention. Ceramics and how we pot trees in containers. We can talk about that all day long. Like, this tree looks better in this style pot, you know. But whoever put it in that depth knew exactly what they were
doing.
The
depth is perfect. Yeah.
And this is a Mel Goldstein.
Mm-hmm.
I just took his first name and last name and combined it.
Yeah.
A Melstein tree. Great.
Yes.
So this is a Goldstein tree. So this was an imported azalea back, I'm assuming, a while ago. So we have that proportion of the actual pot. So we're going to start at the soil line of the root system, the actual root system. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he's roughly 5 times the trunk of the height, roughly. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, this is a bulky, big azalea. This thing's huge. This thing's got, how tall is it?
Let me think. Probably 24 inches.
So it's about 2 feet.
Yeah, about 2.5 feet. And honestly, the pads need to come in a little bit. It's got a little bit of a wide spread at the moment, but...
But here's the thing, though, in my opinion, is that, yes, this tree falls under that pig proportion is what we would call it here. That's something that when me and Guy are creating trees together and I cut a tree down and we skip one of those, I call it like heads tall. It's one of the things, too, in art. It's like, how many heads tall is this person when you proportion them? Because our head is a good proportion, like measurement for when you draw a person. Mm-hmm. So we cut a head tall off of this tree of its own proportion. And then you get into what we call a pig. It's just it's a loving way to say that this thing's a beast. Like, it's a fat pig. It's what we've been saying that here for decades in Louisiana.
So very nice.
I know. It's like, it's very derogatory sounding, but it's like, that's what, if you talk to like some other bonsai people around here, they've been doing bonsai for a while in this area and you go, man, check out that pig. They know what you're talking about. They're like, man, that thing is chunky. That's like a slang for fat trees down here for some reason. I don't know if anyone else says, I doubt they say it on the West Coast.
I've never heard it before.
Yeah. I doubt they say it on the West Coast. They're a little bit more proper about their terminology because they're closer to the Japanese American, bonsai scene.
But it's not out of proportion necessarily. It doesn't fit that ratio, but it's...
Could it be taller? It wouldn't hurt it.
No, it needs to be shorter, actually.
You, in your opinion, it would need to be shorter?
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge, yeah.
But and everything needs, either it needs a bigger pot or everything needs to come in by an inch or two.
So the proportions are squished a little bit more on this tree because it is so big. And in my opinion... Because it's so broad, because there's so much more foliage mass on this thing, and it's the branches are so heavy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Typically in a bonsai design, when how we would approach this to say, okay, where's our first branch at? So it has a pseudo first branch, and then it has a true first branch. So you have like that big guy to the right, but then you have like almost a bar branch on the inside, on the left, and then you've got an enormous branch above that. So,
well, this is after it was thinned too.
Yeah. So we could see everything pretty well, too, right? So it's got some proportions in branches because in theory, and we go back to John Naka's approach, is that big branch should be it. That should be the biggest thing on the whole entire tree as far as branch goes. So that branch that goes back up above that second branch on the left side of the tree, that thing is huge. It's bigger than first branch.
I know.
And so we're pushing these proportions of a shorter, squattier, wider, majestic tree, as opposed to a tree that would be taller in proportion. And in my personal opinion, I'll let you roll back on this, is, you know, it kind of pushes more of that tree of life, or the tree that Rafiki lives in on Lion King kind of feel. And that is allowed because the tree is so broad and so big. And then the pot, that's those square sides. I think personally, if it had square sides and it was just, like you said, wider to get that drip line within the confines of that container, it would look gorgeous.
Yeah.
So it already is a gorgeous tree. I mean, it's an old tree. So what do you think about that after talking about proportions?
Yeah. Well, I think that really big branch up to the left needs to be reduced some. But because it's fall, winter, I didn't want to do significant reduction. I just wanted to do some thinning. So there's definitely, this is one of the trees that has some proportion challenges that I'm trying to work through over a couple of years, just to get it a little bit more well-defined, a little bit tighter pads, a little bit better definition, and a little bit, you know, better proportion, because that branch is too long. And there's some pretty easy places to make the cuts. When you see it in person, it's hard to tell on the photo, but, and then the other lower branch, that's almost a bar branch with the branch on the right, it really is kind of more of a back branch, but it's very weak. So I'm trying to strengthen it before I do any kind of reduction. I don't really mind it being kind of a back-ish branch, even though it's almost competing with that front branch. I think it's all right, but it needs to get stronger and then reduced by 25% probably. So like, it's one of those things where it's a work in progress to manage the proportion of an old tree without going too far too fast.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, is like, it's older, it's an azalea. So you have to approach this thing way differently than, I mean, and it looks like you guys have got this all cued in. Like, you know, when we talk about azaleas, we don't, for Louisiana, we don't talk about azaleas like this. We can't, unfortunately, this doesn't work here. Like this big of a, you know, and full of a monster. So we don't have to worry about basal dominance versus apical dominant trees like we worry about in azaleas. When I talk about them, I try my best to help people assume that energy can be balanced and build branches, and then, like you said, make them strong enough to be able to be cut back. Because if you thin too much on lower branches, they'll start to
decline.
There's another word for it when they start to die back.
Although with an azalea, the bottom's generally stronger. So I'd be more, although if it's already weak, I wouldn't cut stronger. But
yeah.
But yeah, azaleas are backwards.
Yeah. And like, do we fix, like you were saying, there are fixes. There are things that you're imagining doing to quote unquote fix it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily the,
I just sent another tree that we can critique.
Not necessarily fix the tree, but maintain the proportions, because otherwise with azaleas, if you don't maintain them, and you have to do it pretty drastically, if you don't do it, then they eventually just continue to grow and grow and grow and weaken and weaken and weaken and then die. So you have to make some relatively big cuts to maintain those proportions, or you will eventually lose everything. So,
and so about leaf size on this tree, since our topic was leaves,
right.
You know, but it's okay. But yeah, it goes to proportions. I think this is another thing that I would like to challenge on that, is this is an azalea, so it will have a smaller leaf, because this is what, do you know what variety Satsuki this is?
I can't remember off the top of my head. It might be Nico. Yeah, but I don't quote me on that. I don't know. I know it's pink.
Okay. Because there's, was there like close to like 1500 like different
at
cultivars?
Least, yeah. There's like maybe more
of Satsuki's.
Yeah,
Satsuki azaleas are, they're already, that's, there's a reason why they're used. They're a preferred species in bonsai. So that means that preferred means that if you ever have somebody who's a little bit more, I'm just going to say a little bit more gatekeepy with bonsai. Sorry if you guys, if I'm going to rub someone the wrong way with this, but people who believe that bonsai should be only made from materials such as preferred species like Satsuki azaleas, Shimpaku junipers, and stuff like Japanese black pine, Japanese white pine, Japanese red pine, and so on and so forth. Like, it should be a tree that is a known competitor in that game, mm-hmm. of being smaller leafed, you know, having the proportions and stuff that we would allow for a tree like this to be cultivated and then brought to this level of refinement. That the leaf size for those these preferred species, there's a reason why they people use them and consider them to be like true specimens for bonsai, you know. Mm-hmm. So this, there's obviously no struggle here, but I'm sure the leaf on this tree could get bigger.
Yeah, sometimes with the younger trees, or if there's a lot of really rampant new growth, the leaves will occasionally be bigger. You don't see the kind of drastic size difference that you would see in a maple. But I have seen some azaleas, you know, when we're letting them run, or when we let new growth expand, you know, the leaf can be half a size bigger, twice as big. And especially on the really younger stuff during development. But a lot of times they're bred with the small leaves. So you don't get a huge, you know, they already have small leaves. So you don't get that whole like, oh, it's the size of my hand. And then now it's the size of my thumbnail. It's never that drastic.
If you love the art of bonsai, mark your calendars for an unforgettable weekend at Waterfront Botanical Gardens in Louisville, Kentucky. From May 30th to June 1st, experience the third annual Bonsai Weekend, featuring stunning displays from bonsai trees, hands-on workshops, live demonstrations, and the chance to shop with top bonsai vendors. This year, the gardens are thrilled to welcome special guest judge Owen Reich, plus club and People's Choice Awards, so you can cast your vote for your favorite tree. Whether you're a seasoned bonsai artist or just curious about this ancient art, there's always something for everyone, including cultural activities, food and drinks, and a vibrant community of bonsai enthusiasts across the country. Last year, over 1,500 attendees from 18 states made their trip to Louisville. So don't miss your chance to be part of this growing tradition. Get your tickets now at bonsaiweekend.com. That's bonsaiweekend.com. We hope to see you at Waterfront Botanical Gardens, May 30th through June 1st.
This podcast is supported by Bonsai Bar, the beginner bonsai workshop popping up in breweries all across the Northeast. Bonsai Bar is 2 hours of tiny tree goodness disguised as a night out with friends. Come grab drinks, create a new tree, and watch as your friends and family get the bug for bonsai. Bonsai Bar is always looking for teachers and assistants, and you listen to this podcast, so you're probably already qualified. Bring your knowledge out to the bar. Apply today. Find event tickets, contact info, and more at bonsaibar.com.
Hey guys, it's Evan with Underhill Bonsai, and I just want to tell you guys about Say Bonsai. It's going to be happening from March 28th to the 30th, 2025. We're going to be everything Louisiana for a full weekend, so we're going to include a crawfish boil, homemade gumbo, and other food trucks and vendors that are very special, I guess you can say, the southern culture of Louisiana. And also, the show will include a bonsai show with its own special awards, including Best in Show, Best Shohin, Best Traditional Design, People's Choice Award, and also a tongue-in-cheek Best Bald Cypress Bonsai Award. Guest artists and visiting artists will include Julian Tsai, Sylvia Smith, Mike Lane, Carmen Lesko-Biansky, Dawn Ketting, Randy Bennett, and Guy Guidry. Each artist will be presenting demonstrations and giving workshops throughout the weekend. You can go over to underhillbonsaistore.com and go under our Save Bonsai Workshops tab, and you can sign up for just regular attendance. It's going to be $25 just to get into the exhibit tent. And then all the workshops will be spaced out and they will all have individual pricing. We hope to see you guys there. And so what would happen if we were using a tree that was of the same scale, the same size? What if that tree had bigger leaves on it naturally? You know, for and it's a broadleaf, so it's not going to lose its leaves. Mm-hmm. Unless it's semi-deciduous, sometimes they do lose some.
They lose chunk of their some. Leaves. Yeah, they'll lose some, but they don't lose everything. If it had really big leaves, it would be really weird.
Yeah. at the proportions and at the scale that everything is at, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to see the cloud spacing. And let's say cloud spacing for our listeners that are maybe, I don't want to sound like an ass saying this, but like maybe haven't seen a tree like this before.
Mm-hmm.
When I say cloud spacing, that's when it becomes so dense that now you have the ability to cut into those foliage pads and create like layers to a cloud. So it doesn't look like a pom-pom.
Yeah, it's more like a juniper style from a distance than like your traditional deciduous, where it's a little bit more, where you have pads, but they're not as clearly defined. They're more loose and there's more long kind of delicate ramification, whereas this is more like you'd see with a juniper or with a tropical, where it's a lot shorter, denser, tighter ramification to give you that kind of cloud feeling.
Yeah. And that talks about density and the way that that's supposed to look, right? Or that's the way that we have kind of walked into this, knowing about how bonsai, I'm talking about the basics again, like proportions and stuff. We're taught that bonsai should look like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like this azalea is a great example. It should look like this, but there's flaws that we just pointed out. Me and you both pointed out flaws about this tree, but you wouldn't be able to sit there with somebody who had not really seen a tree like this and tell them, by the way, this tree has some flaws. And yeah, they would go, what are you talking like, about?
Yeah.
Like, that's not their first impression when they see this tree.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's talk about another tree just for fun, because we're not going to sit here and have to, you know, go over Carmen's work or the trees that she works on without me getting roasted as well. So this is a tree. This is the next image on the Instagram. If you're on Instagram, you go over to the next one. It's going to be a bald cypress that I repotted for a YouTube video that I produced, I think it was last month or something. And I took advantage of me, you and Aaron Packard actually talked a couple episodes ago. And I said that I got this blue pot. So for reference, if you guys remember that conversation, that's the pelican pot. And that's the tree that I was going to put in it. And so I measured the proportions on this tree real quick. And this is a tall tree.
That's a tall tree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And its proportions is 7 times the width of its trunk tall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at that azalea, that's 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to make it a little bit taller, like if you were to go to 6, it wouldn't be too out of the ordinary for that azalea.
6 would be okay. Mm-hmm.
And then for this cypress tree, it is tall, mm-hmm. but because the trunk line has a steady taper, it has a little bit of that movement at the top there that warrants that height. Now, would I like this tree to be a little shorter? Yeah. But the way that the tree mapped itself out with that shari, mm-hmm. I couldn't bring myself to cut that off.
Yeah.
Because
I think the height is, it's tall, but I don't think I feel it needs to be significantly shorter.
Yeah. So, and you could take that whole shari section down to that first split where those flat top elements work, and you cut that whole thing off down to there and bring it down to very close to how that other tell the azalea is proportioned.
Mm-hmm.
And you would see how that would heavily affect this tree. And then it would feel more like if you were to do that and then build that out and keep that same crown length on that, that would feel more like a pernif, which is the South African umbrella style that you see on Brazilian rain trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're usually kind of laid out. But this was supposed to be more of a tall flat top tree to represent, mm-hmm. you know, the struggle in the swamplands down here. So that that Shari line in that is actually where I had a root issue in touch with that that live vein. It goes down to the soil. There was a root in there that got damaged from either underwatering, or it was mechanical damage when it got moved, or I'm not sure what happened. But I ended up losing about, let's see if I'm zooming on the image so I can kind of count it. This tree's at my house. I'm at the nursery currently. 1, 2, 3 branches. Actually, I lost 4 major branches in that section to warrant that length, but all that stuff on the inside of the curve died. And I was like,
that's fine.
Didn't bother me. Yeah, exactly. It's cool. I can rebuild it. It's a cypress tree, but I wanted our listeners to see what proportions now that we are going through and kind of looking at how poor proportions can be used to our advantage, that like this tree is not too far off from the other one as far as height and width. Now, the proportion of this tree, you're like, that's a tall tree, mm-hmm. right? It's not mm-hmm. though. That azalea is taller than this tree.
Mm-hmm. Like,
you don't think so?
How tall is this tree?
So this tree, let's see, let me get a tape measure. I don't have the tree next to me, but I know if it was on the ground next to me, how tall it would be. You said that azalea is 24 inches?
That's
really short and fat. Shorter and fatter than I imagine.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Wow.
I can carry that one, so.
Oh. You can carry that one?
Yeah.
Single-handedly.
I'm very strong, Evan.
I know. No, I worked in the garden with you at Hagedorn's. I know how strong you are. Okay, you're right. This tree is probably an entire, additional azalea taller than that tree.
I know.
Because, okay, here's the thing too. This is the fun, you would know because you worked on that other tree personally.
I've seen you standing next to this tree, so I know how tall it is.
Okay, so tall. See what happened here is that you tricked me with this other azalea.
You.
No. You didn't trick me. Like, isn't a way you didn't intentionally trick me, you know?
Oh, but this isn't the original azalea I was talking about.
What do you mean?
Well, hold on. What do you think I tricked you with? Tell me what I tricked you with.
The size. You can pick up that one in the blue pot by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. That tree is, from the soil line, 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
Okay. You tricked me because... I'm saying that because the proportions are less. They're at the they're like the 1 to 5 proportions.
Mm-hmm.
It looks bigger than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. That's the key. Whereas the bald cypress, it is not. It doesn't look like it's terribly giant, but because mm-hmm. you've seen me stand next to it, you know how big it really is.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to, now. I fooled myself here because you were like, it's 24 inches. I work with so many big trees at the nursery that like if a tree is over 5 feet tall, that's a big tree. Anything shorter than that is like medium sized to me here for some reason. That's just what I'm used to.
When I originally brought up the topic of like, okay, I have a 24 inch trunk. That wasn't the one I was talking about. There's bigger ones I'm talking about, but I don't have a photo of it.
So. Oh, I believe you. You've got big trees. I'm not like saying all your trees are small. Most of our mm-hmm. trees are big here. Just because we have a lot of access to
big trees.
So you feel the proportions feel right on the cypress. There's nothing off a little bit about the proportions. Other than my critique is it. For myself, even though it's a tree that I've worked on, that it is a little tad too tall for me. And you said that about your azalea that you're working on mm-hmm. within your collection too.
Yeah, I think size-wise, I guess it could be a little bit tall, but it's also one of those things that once you develop the tree further and there's more branching up top, you could easily bring it down an inch or two.
Yeah.
When there's more stuff there. But at the moment, I don't think you can bring it down. So.
Yeah. And that has to go with horticultural approach mm-hmm. too. Is if I were to negate these branches up top and try to bring it down, then I'm going to lose that length of trunk line there.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be able to maintain that Shari and build mm-hmm. that interest in that tree. Because this tree is if you watch the video of me potting this tree up and I kind of gave it a background on this tree was originally started back in like 1986 or something like that as a bonsai. So it has age to it. And there was a lot of age I didn't want to remove. So. Mm-hmm. To allow myself to break those proportion lines and the height that I was like, it's a little on the tall side, that I allowed it, then that's one of the things we have to consider. Like with the azalea, where it's got those big branches, it's like, you can't take them off, though, because it would hurt the tree. Yeah, it wouldn't look right, and it would hurt that tree's quality and its health. And so that's one of the things, too, is like we have to kind of mention is something I've been hearing a lot from a guy as well, is that when you get to the top right there, the end of that trunk line, that's the end of the story. You'll hear me say that if you've ever seen me give a lecture. That's something I say a lot. When we go up to the top and we put those branches flat, they don't have to be flat. Just because it's flat top style doesn't mean they're flat like that, because my style dictates that's how I finish the tops of my trees. Those branches could point upwards like a traditional deciduous. I've built plenty of traditional deciduous trees where those branches come from down below on that trunk line, and then they taper up ever so slightly, and you get to finer tips until that's where the absolute end of it is. And then there's other trees that are a little bit more old school, I guess you could say, where that pine tree style, where everything droops downward. So it goes straight down instead of up in any orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your take on that?
What was the question?
Exactly. I was riffing yes. on how to finish the top of the tree.
Yeah, there's different ways for different trees.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's something that
I struggle with finishing the tops of trees. I'll just say that right now.
If you had that's interesting for you to say. Like, if you're given a tree that has been a bonsai for quite some time and you can see it. And in your mind, you could build off the proportions that you see that tree is supposed to be at. You could refine that tree, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you just take the same principles when you're building a tree. So you're telling me that you're... Now, for the listeners, I believe that she's saying more like she can't finish a tree when it comes to the initial design. It's a struggle.
Oh, no. I could do that. I just end up leaving bald spots sometimes when I'm trying to lay out the branches up top.
Okay. So
challenge. I can make the top.
Can't.
I can make the top. I just have to not leave a bald spot.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm getting better.
Just asking for, just a question, because it's something that me and off recording, me and Carmen talk about these things mm-hmm. a good bit about designs and stuff. In the bald spots, I mean, that's something that with junipers, especially when you build a juniper out, it's going to have a bald spot because you're laying branches down
mm-hmm.
where there wouldn't be foliage anyway. And mm-hmm. it should bud back and fill in that space.
Ideally.
So, ideally, it might not. Yeah. I mean,
I've gotten much better, but I was originally known for the bald spots. So,
yeah. Well, we got a Fumina or Femina. How do you say it?
I don't like them.
You don't like that species? They do kind of suck whenever they get dry and they mm-hmm. needle you like a cactus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, we have one at the nursery that's like a three tree forest. You'll see it when you're here. That branches were bent around from the back. They were long. They were allowed to run long, and then they were just looped around
mm-hmm.
to fill in spaces on the main tree.
Mm-hmm.
And unless
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but I've also seen other bonsai people, practitioners and professionals do that
mm-hmm.
to get those spaces.
Yeah, especially on a conifer, like a pine, especially a ponderosa or a juniper, when you get to the top, you're just trying to fill in the gaps. It's not necessarily about how your pad is laid out. At that point, you are filling in the holes and rounding the crown out, period. So... I've seen some twisty, weird, janky things that you would not ever consider when you're teaching how to lay out a pad. But when you have something like a ponderosa or a shimpaku, the way that you can bend the branches to make things go where you need them to go is outstanding and very fun and crazy.
On a ponderosa.
On a ponderosa or a juniper, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the way you can move things is just.
And that's why we can also see like the thing where it's like when you see somebody take like a raw piece of material and then they mm-hmm. like make it into a tree suddenly. And they're like, oh, how'd they do that? It's just mm-hmm. knowing how to fill in those spaces and create that mm-hmm. crown.
It's called compression and compaction. And that's just it.
It's already there. You just have to move it. Yeah, you just have to squeeze it in together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this tree. This is another tree from my collection. Since we're talking about proportion and leaf size, we are talking about leaves. So here's a Yaupon holly. What's the proportions on that little thing?
Well, it's like two.
Yeah. This is a sumo basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when you were talking about the proportion thing originally, it doesn't go for all trees then.
It's a basis. It's a expectation of what a tree would look like in nature.
Okay.
For our perspectives.
And then from there, you can change it to get the look you want?
Yes. You can skew it.
Because I thought you were saying they all had to be that proportion. I was like, but no trees are all that proportion.
So that's one of the things that whenever it's like you learn the rules to break them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand how proportions work, then you can bend those rules and warp it however you choose to do it as mm-hmm. well. So like... That's just the way it works always in art and anything else that we do that involves proportions or the Fibonacci sequence. So something that
the Fibonacci sequence, yes,
that's brought up a lot in bonsai, a lot more than you think. So it's really cool to kind of think about those things when you approach these trees, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, he just showed us this tree that was really tall right after this tree that was, you know, nice squat proportions like that azalea. Now this Yaupon, and this Yaupon is also very raw. I'm a grower. I do show trees every once in a while, but I have a lot of trees in process. So you guys are judging me.
No,
whatever.
It's in progress.
They're all starts. And I'm really into the process of it. I was actually like, what's funny is I was looking at pictures. Me and Caitlin were scraping up pictures from like back in the day. We had like an external hard drive that we found sitting in a box. We plugged it in. It had some photos in there from like 2010 and a little bit earlier. And I was like, oh my God. And then we got to this part where it showed a picture of me with my bonsai collection, but it wasn't like the collection wasn't at all like what you would think when it comes to a bonsai collection. It was, you know,
it was the first attempt.
It was one of the first attempts after years of killing trees. And then finally getting to a point where I was like, oh, these are cool trees. And I was just, you know, but the amount of time from that to here was like about 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. And there was a leap there because obviously I've been networking and working with people and then work at a bonsai nursery. So those things accelerate things. But when you take a tree like this little Yaupon, for instance, it came out of the front yard of my house. So when me and Caitlin bought our house 2 years ago, I dug this tree up because there's Yaupon hollies in front of our house. And there was one, she was like, I don't like that one. And I was like, it's a Yaupon. It's the dwarf Schilling's one. I'll dig it up. You know, why not? So this tree's been out of the ground for 2 years, and
it's pretty good for 2 years.
It was huge, you know, and the base on that tree, that pot's probably like a 14 inch pot. It's huge.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's a little monster.
I thought that was like an 8 inch pot.
No.
I thought that was like almost Shoheen.
No, the thing
nope.
is.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. So the roots on it are exaggerated because. Mm-hmm. It was a bush. It was a bush you could not even wrap your arms around.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I cut it down and I repotted it, and it went straight into this pot. This is not a training pot per se. It's not like a plastic pot or a box or something. This is like just a regular Chinese container banded rectangle. And the way that I know how these trees work, we have Yaupons, they have fibrous root systems, and I was able to cut everything back really nice and hard and then build this tree. So, you know, and then the proportions on it, because the roots are so ridiculous, and the way that I like my Yaupons to be is I do like short, fat trees. I like sumos, I like pigs. So I went with I'm going to use that word more often. Apparently it's fun.
Excellent.
But I went in with the, you know, it has two trunks. It has that main trunk that's big to the right, and it's got a little guy trunk that's kind of off to the side. It's like a secondary trunk kind of look. It was just a fun thing to do. So like you said, it's the proportions that we listed out earlier. When you do go look at other trees in public collections, or you go to look at trees that are at, like, say, the National Show or the PPE or any other big show, look at the proportions on those trees. A lot of those trees are proportioned in that range of that 6 to 12, whereas this is a play-around tree. I'm having fun here, you know. So proportions can be played with a lot more, but I do have an understanding of Nabari base, thickness, tapering. The tapering is literally, like, I love building, like I said earlier, like the Hershey Kiss. Like, I like those because they're goofy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this tree is just for fun. I don't know if this tree's ever going to hit the showroom. You know, it's going to go onto a bench. And
it could.
It could. You know, like Jonas Dupuy has a Yaupon Holly with the same trunk size, but he's growing it out much bigger, the canopy and everything. That tree's in the proportions of that 6 to 1. This one's not. So, you know, like, I would have a long ways to go to reach, like, actually, if you look up, it's really fun. If you go Yaupon Holly Bonsai, I'm just going to shoot it over. And I'm going to message Jonas and see if I have permission to share his image, which I'm sure he's been on the show a couple times. He likes us. Copy image. And get out of this. Boom. You've definitely seen this tree.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
Same trunk size. I've seen this tree in person. You've seen this tree in person.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the tapering in the trunk, like how it comes up. And you can see the trunk line all the way up until it starts getting this smaller branch. This is an earlier picture of it right after he potted it into this lovely white. I'm assuming this is a Japanese container.
Probably.
Knowing Jonas, yeah. Come up, and it's kind of proportioned almost like the azalea. So we're going to go up to right underneath that first branch where the Takagari kind of starts developing its size. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-ish. We're somewhere around 5.
It's lovely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. And maybe it's 5 times the trunk of the size. So, I mean, 1 to 5, whatever. It's like going to give you that, you know, yeah. John Naka and David DeGroot said it. So, yo, don't poo-poo on me. You know what I mean? But like, but no, yeah, this tree has a very lovely proportion, trunk, and
really
the drip
nice
line.
Taper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the taper's great. And he got this out of Texas. This was a Texas tree.
Nice.
So, and you said, like, if you were to get that pot on your tree, the azalea collection tree,
mm-hmm.
to be more, this is what I'm imagining you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me look at it again. Yeah. Just a little bit wider.
Yep. So what does leaf size have to do with this? Anyway, so...
we switched topics, I think.
Yeah, no, I said we would kind of do whatever we felt like we wanted to. But it's fun because we don't get to look at, like, I think it's one of my favorite episodes is always the ones that we critique and we talk about trees and we kind of go into this whole thing.
It's a good jumping off point.
Yeah. But leaf size, I know that you were saying earlier, I do want to kind of go back into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm growing, I almost said fuck it. I'm going to say it. So let's see. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to put another tree that I'm working on. It's another tree in development. Go over to Instagram, Little Things for Bonsai People, and you can see all the wonderful tree images that me and Carmen are critiquing or just looking at, because, you know, it's what we do in Bonsai is we look at stuff. Where is that tree at? Give me 1 second. As far as time, how are you doing on time, Carmen? Are you?
I'm good. I got about 20 more minutes.
Okay. Let me throw this in there and then we'll talk about leaf a little bit on that. It's because I know you're not at work today, so kind of.
Yeah, no, I know. I just, Vessel's going to be home in a little bit, so.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. So this tree is very raw. This is a...
Yes.
So... I potted it up because I had the container and it was fine. It's a bigger pot than, you know, probably would be destined for this. This is Acer rubrum. You've seen this tree. Now, my proportions, I measured the one proportions on this tree, and that, and the proportions would dictate that this would also, where that, where the top comes out, obviously I'm using that to help the tree not have a die back. So that giant air node space, that's typical of Acer Rubrum. So you can see that first node off the top of that where it's carved a little bit. You can see where I would like to go into it if I'm trying to encourage that bud to be alive. Because Acer Rubrum, it's tough on them to go in and cut them down and depend on them to actually do that. So that's that takeaway for, we had an Acer Rubrum conversation a couple episodes back, and this was one of the trees where I'm like, there's certain things on here that, like, you know, that first branch off to the left, obviously I would like that bud that's closer to the trunk to pop and not the ones all the way at the end where that knuckle is. But because I'm building the tree, I have to give the tree opportunity for dieback and internode spacing to compensate for that. And they, I don't know, Acer Rubrums will sometimes surprise you and pop a bud on a weird part of the wood where there wouldn't be a bud otherwise. So they're odd, but I had to give this thing the best chance. But we're talking about proportions. If you go here under that Takagari, on under that first branch, this tree would have to be where that top of that, that sacrifice looking branch, that's the end of the tree. That's the end of the story. That's where I would go thick branch, tinier, 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 until it just kind of dissolves into tinier twigs. Do you agree with that proportion?
I think it's too tall.
You think that would be too tall? If it was the finest twigs at the end.
At the finest twigs at the end, okay.
Not the trunk line.
If your taper evens out.
Yep.
It's, I don't know. It's hard to imagine. Let me think. Let me squint at it a little bit. Yeah, it could work. It would work. I'm trying to imagine the entire canopy and not just the trunk, but yeah, I think that would work.
And I'm showing this tree with the entire trunk because we're not distracted by all the refinement on the other trees that we looked at. Instead, we're looking at these trees through the scope. We're looking through this tree at the scope of what could be. And this helps a little bit more. Now, theoretically, that branch on the right side with all those other finer pieces, that could be my first branch. I could part ways with that one on the left. And rebuild it. But I'm looking at where the top of that top of the tree comes up to where is the cutoff point. And the leaf size on this tree is enormous on these trees normally. And so, like you said, keeping the leaf on there to encourage the tree to use that for resources later on, or, you know, when we go to show it, it would be deciduous like it is now. Obviously, it would be developed. Now, when we think back about the Ann Spencer tree, how much more coarse were those branches on that tree versus the other deciduous trees in the yard?
A little bit coarser, not terribly.
So it's got a big leaf. Like, it's old, yeah.
It's old, yeah. And the leaf on that one was not as, I mean, it could have been bigger, could have been smaller, but it was still a pretty small leaf for a red maple.
Now, if we were enjoying this is me with big leaves on deciduous trees and some other species, but I'm a deciduous person, so it's kind of, this is kind of where it comes from my perspective, is even if those leaves were big, I still enjoy the tree because it shows me what the species is and is capable at the size and proportion that I'm developing the tree at. Is the leaf size, yes, it will be bigger than we would really want it to, because if you were a human standing next to this tree and the leaf was as big as it's going to get, which this tree is only this tree is maybe only 13 inches tall at the most. If you were to take that leaf off of there, you could use it as like a king size blanket. It's how big the leaf would be in proportion to you as a person next to this tree. If you were to scale it up to the appropriate size. Now, I think it's charming whenever a smaller tree has big leaves on it, though. And I don't have an issue with it because I know what the species is. I know what's required to keep the tree healthy. And I think it has that look. It's almost like, there's a style of anime. I know you're not cued in on anime very, very much. But it's the chubby style. Hold on, I want to be right. Chibi. It's chibi style, which is like this is a reference to like whenever anime characters have like really big heads and big eyes, but their bodies are small. So it has that same quality, and to me is like whenever I see a tree with big leaves and then a proportioned trunk, it has that. That's whenever a tree to me is like, oh, that's cute to me. So, you know,
it depends on like, you can finish. I interrupted you.
No. Go ahead. I was already kind of where I was at going with that. I was like, the reason why.
It depends for me. Like, if you have a tree and you're managing it correctly, and it's even like, if it's halfway between early development and becoming a bonsai, at that point, a lot of times your leaves are kind of in scale with the progress of the tree, and you're managing leaf size through certain amounts of defoliation or not doing defoliation. And so, like, I would question a highly refined tree with big leaves on it. I would wonder what the person is doing, because that's not a normal thing. But for me, I guess it really depends on the stage that the tree is in, how appropriate the leaf size is.
Yeah, because if we have, let's say like this maple, you know, I would say to get it to where I'm imagining would probably take about 5 years or so. And let's say this, if you took this maple and you cut back these long line segments and instead had a bifurcation that's pleasing closer to the trunk, like we want on most bonsai. And then you took like on the right side of the tree of that branch, it reaches out and has that little finer twig that's reddish colored. Mm-hmm. If everything on that tree, if there was like 100 of those little twigs and that was the whole tree and it started building up, and then you had these big red maple leaves on there, yes, there would not be sustainability in keeping those twigs if you had a big leaf at the end of each one of those runs. Because like you said, like you would have to practice some kind of partial defoliation to maintain that high level of refinement. Mm-hmm. But that's because when we see some trees that are in public collections, or if a person has selected to post a picture of a tree on display, or they're like, this is a good picture of this tree. And you're like, that man, I wish I could have a tree like that. Well, the person who created that deciduous tree at that level of refinement, they brought it to that image of what they want it. They're like, I want this tree to look this way. Now, is it going to stay that way? No. It can't stay like that forever. It's going to look that good for a couple of years, and then it's going to have to be reduced back again to a certain extent. So trident maples are one of the examples I can think of where they get so dense at one point, it looks awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And then it gets out of hand, and then you have to cut them really hard back again. Mm-hmm. You know, crepe myrtles do the same thing. Bald cypresses do the same thing. At one point, you have to cut the ends of they get knuckly if they have too much fine branching on them. And so those things get reduced every so often, every couple of years. And like that old winged elm that sent you pictures over and over again. I was like, please tell me I'm doing the right thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I felt better after I cut it back, because some people told me to cut it even shorter than you had told me to cut it. Mm-hmm. And so those are the hard truths of knowing and seeing those trees. It's like, you know, they have to be cut back. And to me, to kind of wrap us up on this, on leaf size versus proportion and stuff, I said it was going to be an easy conversation. Isn't it being
this has been
more
tricky?
I've been more constructive conversation. When I see a tree with the larger leaves in a collection, it tells me that that's like bonsai at home. Mm-hmm. I'm literally going off of that stupid joke. It's like, well, this is bonsai at the Kokofu Tin, and then this is bonsai at home, you know, kind of thing. It's like, yeah, I've got this tree at home, but I can't expect myself to have a tree at that level and have 50, 100, 200, whoever. I've got 50 trees, and I know people who have more in their backyard. How do you expect that person to go to that level every single time? So if a tree's got big leaves, I find that charming. I find that to be suitable for that tree and for the tree's health and for what the tree is. And the species, if the species, like a sweet gum here or a red maple or anything else with large leaves, because alternatively, I could have my hornbeams and my hackberries have small leaves. And you said that's what brought up this conversation.
Yes.
Like American hornbeams have big leaves. I was like, for the scale of the trees if you're getting them to a certain size, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's a, okay, so that last comment, last kind of little sure. dig on this. American hornbeam. So we get a leaf size roughly on average is about a 2 to 3 inch.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, it's hard to reduce them.
Yeah, it is.
But they twig so beautifully. The twigging on them is phenomenal. I don't know if you've seen American hornbeams with I'm sure you said you have some at the collection.
Yeah, they struggle to twig. I'm not sure exactly what their problem is, but I'm working with them.
Wait till you come down here and see what the ones that I have, what they look like. They twig with no issues. In fact, if I build the trunk line and I build the branches correctly, and then I just maintain the silhouette, everything is a twig. Unless, of course, if I let it run and mm-hmm. it thickens, it will thicken, of course. But
sure,
each tree will fill itself in and it will make a nice silhouette of its, you know, of it. You'll build itself out to where it gets nice and full like a little bush. And then if I thin that out, there's all twigs in there and it's beautiful. But yeah, the leaves are going to be larger than what we would expect. Yeah. Now, how big would you want your leaf on that tree? That's my question. You know, it's.
Yeah, well, probably. I mean, they have very narrow trunks. They're more clumpy than chunky. So ideally, I'd like them to be about 2/3 of that size, just a little bit smaller. And so sometimes we'll do a leaf cut on them and that brings them a little bit more into proportion. But
I'd be interested to see what y'all's hornbeams look like. Do you have mm-hmm. like pictures of them?
I don't right this second, but I will take some next time I'm at work.
Yeah, I'll text you tomorrow when you're there and say, hey, mm-hmm. shoot me those pictures of hornbeams because I want to see what you guys are working with American hornbeams, because I know they'll grow just about anywhere. They're mm-hmm. pretty strong. North American native plant. It's like the Acer Rubrum, it'll grow anywhere. But I'm just interested because this is where this whole conversation kind of spawned in my brain. Is like, oh, that's too big of a leaf. That's interesting to say. When, you know, I have leeway mm-hmm. in the fact that I'm working with the deciduous native and I allow it because that's kind of my thing. Obviously, I've said this dozens of times on the show. Everybody should know that Evan Pardue loves deciduous trees from the South. Okay, we get it. But I allow it because that's just in the species nature, you know, as long as it's healthy, I don't really care. And then in its deciduous habit in the winter silhouette, which we don't have any winter silhouette shows here to. Well, we have the one that happens in North Carolina that is in connection with the national show that, I mean, that's 8 hours away. But I mean, like, there's nothing here that where people really get to appreciate that here. And mm-hmm. our winters are so short. So it's hard for people to be like, when do we do this kind of, yeah. you know, silhouette, you know, it's a thing. But anyway, I think unless you have any more to add to that, I think this is a pretty good broad discussion about it. I mean,
I think so. Yeah.
Yep. So plenty of pictures that we've critiqued or anything, but any closing remarks on our thoughts on leaf size compared to proportion? I think this episode's more proportion versus leaf and less big leaves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. No, I don't think I have any final thoughts.
Okay. Make it so simple. Just, it's just like, you're like, I don't know where to end these thoughts sometimes. The end. And I'm like,
the end.
Okay. Well, I guess that's good. So anyway, if you guys have been listening, and you've gotten to this point, thank you for listening so much. And like we said earlier in the show, we do have our, patrons that support us. And so this time I'm going to read straight off the Patreon page, because my list is always changing. I know now, doesn't hurt when people unsubscribe or whatever. We don't care. We're not keeping tabs on people here. The fact that some people will sign up and then be and will be a supporting patron for a month even is amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. you could have bought a $5 footlong with that, and $5 goes a long way.
I don't even think you can get a $5 footlong anymore. I think they're like $7.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
So you can't even do that anymore. So
the state of our economy, you know? Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. But yeah, the the fact that $5 does what it does now, and you guys are willing to, well, not even does what it does. It's kind of like, you know.
What it doesn't do.
It wasn't.
Anyway, sorry, I'm turning this into.